This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guests on Bent Notes are two improvising jazz musicians. They're brothers, both in musical terms and life. Tom and Michael of Genikos grew up with music and have experienced similar musical journeys, from their practicing together at home in their underwear to playing with some amazing international musicians and becoming significant musicians themselves in the Sydney and the Australian jazz scene. And they have just released their debut album together. It's called Treading Water. It is my pleasure to bid a very warm welcome to musical brothers, trumpeter Tom of Genikos and saxophonist Michael. Welcome.
Thank you, David. Yeah, thanks for having us. This is Michael, thanks. By the way.
Thanks for having us, David. And this is Tom.
Let's take you both back to those days of practicing together at home. Were you just having fun, or did you have a sense at the time that there was something important happening?
I guess it was a bit of fun. It was always kind of, we played a lot of music in the house, just kind of in the living room on the stereo, and would dance along when we were really little, before we even started playing. Mum and Dad were very into music. Dad played piano and trumpet, and I guess introduced Tom to the trumpet before he'd even had any lessons formally. We've been playing together quite a bit throughout the years, with playing along with our favourite tunes, a lot of James Brown and kind of Michael Jackson stuff in the early days, and then kind of some Jamie Abersold kind of things, and playing throughout high school together as well in the Chatswood High groups there.
Playing along to records as opposed to doing the scales and the arpeggios and things like that?
Yeah, I guess we would have done most of it by ear at first, and then kind of the understanding of what we were doing came later.
Playing all those records and jumping around while you're enjoying yourself, what was it that you were learning at the time?
I don't know. What would you say, Tom?
I always think, Michael, you and I have always been quite good, like always had quite good ears. Like Michael was saying, we sort of didn't really know what we're doing, but maybe knew like the certain sound that we wanted. I always have a bit of trouble actually teaching jazz to people, like to students, because so much of it was like really intuitive and just done by ear, and I actually have a lot of trouble explaining what we do. And I think everything was just very natural, just playing along and enjoying music, I think.
Do you still get round in your undies playing your music together? Got to ask that question.
Not quite.
Yeah. Depends.
Try to avoid that.
If we've had a lot of drinks, there'd have to be a lot of drinks.
Fair enough. Tom, as the younger brother, were you looking up and learning from Michael?
Oh, definitely. You know, I wouldn't be playing, you know, where I am now without Michael. I remember there was one stage where I think, must have been sort of maybe late high school for Michael, he was becoming really, really invested in jazz. And then I was just looking at that, just like the work ethic and how much enjoyment he was getting out of it, and the dedication, and just thinking, you know, I want to do that. As well as when we were younger, you know, he was maybe a little bit bored of like playing band pieces and scales and stuff. And I think he was the first one to start playing along with the Jamie Abersold backing tracks, and just seeing him playing whatever he wanted, I wanted to do that. So, yes, definitely.
What did you find the draw card of playing with the backing tracks?
I'd say it's just the ability to kind of just keep playing. they go for quite a long time, and you get to kind of hear a really good rhythm section just playing without a solo involved. I think that was a big part of it, but those books were kind of introduced to us by our teachers. We would kind of have them explained in detail. And there's lots of little things in there, like harmony in the scales, and it explains a bit like that. But yeah, I'd say it's just longer, so we get to play for a long time.
Lots of good practice.
Yeah.
And lots of opportunity, I suppose, to try different things and work out what does and doesn't work.
Exactly, yeah. And no one's there to kind of tell you what's right or wrong.
A good way to go, I reckon.
I think that's the cool thing. You can just play it. Like, it seems like it's going on forever, and it doesn't really matter, like, whether you're making a mistake or not. Like, you don't even know whether you're playing the right notes or not. You're just blowing and wiggling your fingers and hoping the best, and you might find something that actually sounds really cool. So I think just that experimentation and, yeah, no fear of, like, mistakes or anything like that.
And the band doesn't get tired of repeating the same thing over and over again.
That's right.
Tom, you took up busking, I think, around about the age of 12, and I've read that you did that to raise money to pay for a trip to the Montreux Jazz Festival with the Chatswood High School Band, but I read that you actually weren't going to Chatswood at the time.
Michael and I actually did that together.
I think Tom had auditioned in year 6 for the band.
That's right.
Because we'd informed Gavin Staines, the conductor, that he'd be involved in the band, and he was quite a prodigious young student in year 6 playing the trumpet, and Gavin invited him to audition and got into the band in year 7, and he was away. He was the youngest one there. But we busked pretty much every weekend for almost a year, I'd say, and yeah, it was a fun experience. Wouldn't want to do it too much now, but it had its place in learning.
Yeah.
And did you get to Montreux?
We did.
Yes,
yeah.
We did.
What's the biggest memory you have of that, Tom?
I was so young then. I think maybe I was not even 13 yet. I don't know. I remember I chipped my tooth.
Oh no!
That's about all I remember. I don't remember too much about the musical aspect of it. It was all just so much, I think, for me at the time. You know, being in it was first time overseas, and you know, just so much music on. Oh, it's a bit of a whirlwind. Maybe Michael could tell you a bit more. I'm sure he has a better recollection of that than me.
Well, I've got a question for Michael, actually. I've read a report that you wrote, Michael, that you won a BBM Youth Support Award for jazz back in 2016-17.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, that was my second time to Europe, yeah.
One of the things that you noted was that you went to a saxophone workshop by Melanie Henry at the Royal College of Music, but it was a classical workshop, and here was you as a jazz or improvising saxophonist. How did that work for you?
It was really interesting, actually. They had some amazing classical musicians from the school there playing as a quartet, and Melanie was giving advice. I just wanted to see kind of the other side of the coin in terms of saxophone and the saxophone repertoire. I've gone through basically the AMEB system since I was little, all the way through all the grades, and eventually did my AMUS on the tenor saxophone. There wasn't too much repertoire for saxophone specifically, so that was really interesting. Hearing what they were playing and the advice that they would give from a classical standpoint. And I guess just the classical sound is very different. It's almost like a different instrument in the way that it's played compared to in a jazz setting. So, yeah, that was really interesting.
Was there anything from your improvising experience that you're able to improve for having gone to that classical section?
I wouldn't say too much about improvising. Maybe a little bit of technique. Things that I could kind of remember in my classical training that I'd basically not forgotten, but things that I'd practiced when I was in high school that I've basically come back to after hearing those reiterated in those kind of settings.
Did you get back to Umbria? Now, we talked before about Tom wanting to go to Montreux. In your report, you talked about going back to Umbria for the jazz festival. Did you succeed in getting there?
Yeah, I went to Umbria Jazz, saw some amazing music. There was Melissa Aldana, the great tenor saxophonist. She was playing there. I remember actually being in the hotel on the first night. We just got there, and I heard someone practicing across the street. I couldn't see who it was, but I knew it was Melissa just from hearing the practice. I knew it was her sound, and that was a pretty amazing experience to just hear an amazing musician practicing without them knowing that you can hear them, basically.
And did you get your sax out and start playing a duet?
Oh, no, I wasn't not quite brave enough.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
You also mentioned that there were so many inspirational vistas that you saw and so many inspirational musicians that you saw in some of the jazz clubs. When you look back at your music since 2017, are you able to identify where those inspiring moments have impacted the music that you make?
Yeah, I'd definitely say just in my practice ethic. I guess when I was, as Tom said, when I was in high school, in the early days of high school, I was practicing quite rigorously. Since I've kind of relaxed on that a little bit, but especially in the Siena Jazz Workshop that I attended, a lot of the musicians really stressed the importance of regular practice and just their work ethic. But in terms of composition, I guess it's just things that you pick up along the way. I think the main inspiration for me is just playing other people's original music and seeing how they do it. Say I could pinpoint any specific part of the journey that I can hear in my own music, but I guess the process is the main thing that I would have worked on, yeah.
And I have no doubt there will have been some process involved in the brand new album, Treading Water. We're going to talk about that very shortly. Before we do, I reckon we should have a listen to one of the pieces. Tom, would you like to nominate one of the pieces off the album that we could listen to and give us a little bit of a background on what we should listen for?
Sure. So should we have a listen to Toy Boy?
Okay.
So it's the first track on the album. When I write music, I kind of give them names at the end. So this song's not really about anything, but an interesting fact about this song is that there's actually a couple of mistakes. Well, not mistakes, there's a couple of things that went unplanned in the recording of this track. We just decided to stick with it because it sounded really great. So I guess that's the benefit of playing with great improvisers.
Thanks, Tom. Let's have a listen to Toy Boy from Treading Water from the Evgenikos Brothers. My special guests are Tom and Michael Evgenikos. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
This is Joy's jazz show, Bent Notes, where my special guests are Michael and Tom of Evgenikos. Guys, you've just released your debut album playing together. It's called Treading Water. What was the catalyst for you to actually get together and work together on this album? Was it just the fact that the time was suddenly right?
Yeah, I think so. We've been playing together and with this particular band for a number of years. Yeah, like I said, I think we finally decided that the time was right. We thought that the music was sounding where we wanted it to and that we had the right musicians and sort of the right concept behind the music. So yeah, we'd been thinking about it for a while and yeah, just sort of everything seemed to fall in at the right time, I guess.
Was there something, an actual catalyst that germinated this particular album, or was there something that fed into the title, Treading Water? Is there a story of inspiration behind that, or is it just something that you felt suited the music once you'd put it all together?
It's hard to pinpoint one particular thing. I don't know. Sometimes you just get a feeling that, you know, you're building a little bit of momentum. We had sort of struggled to play regularly, actually, like regular gigs. We've sort of only done one or two a year. We finally sort of built up the momentum, had the repertoire ready to go. And I think also, like at the moment, you know, Michael and I may be feeling like that we're playing sort of to a level where we want to as well. So yeah, it's difficult to say. I think everything just coming together.
Your band, let's run through who you've got. Introduce me to the band.
On the bass, we've got Nick Henderson, who also actually did a lot of editing and production work on the album. So a lot of those extra sounds, you'll be hearing his genius at work. We've got Novak Manojlovic on piano and synths, who's an incredible player and really has had a lot of input in the music in terms of a lot of the textures, the sonic textures and electronics that you hear. Got Alex Herlin on the drums, who's just incredible. And in fact, he, on the day of the recording session, he actually came back from Hong Kong at like 6 a.m. and was, you know, had no sleep, but he's just such a good player that he just still managed to just absolutely smash it. So, yeah, pretty incredible. We've got Felix Lan on guitar, who's an amazing guitarist. So, it's a we're incredibly lucky to work with what I think is probably the some of the best young musicians in Sydney.
Well, certainly listening through the album, the sounds are just amazing. I've listened through it in headphones. The use of the instrumental placement is just beautiful as the sounds float around you in that stereo sound feel. It's just beautiful. When we sit down and listen to the album in sequence, is there anything we're going to notice in terms of the journey? Because you have described this album as a reflection of your musical journey. Have you continued that in the sequencing of the pieces?
In terms of the, definitely in the final track of the album, you'll definitely hear like the sort of direction, the future direction of the ensemble in terms of the sonic textures available. And so there's the journey in that stage. I think the tracks are sort of just in that order because I think that they flow nicely. But I think all of the tracks actually reflect our musical interests of jazz and hip hop and electronic soundscapes.
Yeah, and I'd probably add that each track really has its own journey. There's always a beginning that's, it might not start how you'd expect if you'd heard the rest of the song, and it kind of works its way through kind of a narrative for each track. So that's why they kind of lean into each other quite nicely.
It does flow beautifully. And what else is beautiful is the artwork you've got, artwork by Sam Harwood. The front cover image particularly is just grabs your attention. The water and the rocks, a little bit of sunlight flashing there, is just fantastically well done.
Yeah, it's really nice artwork. We sort of explained to Sam how, I mean, as the title suggests, Treading Water, there's definitely like an influence of the coastline, eastern coastline.
The album is released on Earshift Music. It's available both digitally and physically from bandcamp.com. Best way to find it is to get onto bandcamp.com and then search for Treading Water. It's a bluish water image on the front. Do you have any plans to come down to Melbourne at some stage? Not right at the moment, I would have to say, but maybe next year?
I was actually planning to be in Melbourne kind of around this time, so I'll definitely be heading down there in the future. We haven't made any plans with this band at this stage, but I think it's definitely something we're looking into once all this passes, really.
Yeah, it's on the cards for sure.
Fantastic. Well, certainly get in touch, get you in the studio and have a chat.
Love that. Thank you.
Tom, Michael, what are your final words of advice to our listeners as we sit down to listen to the album?
Words of advice. Oh, I don't think I've ever been good at that. Well, I guess I would say, you know, stay safe, have hope, you know, eat your veggies. Once it's safe to do so, take long walks along the beach. Listen to Treading Water.
That's the way to do it, indeed. Tom, Michael, to conclude our chat here tonight on Bent Notes, let's have another piece from the album, Treading Water. What would you suggest and what's special about it?
So this is my tune. We basically came up with this one by accident. We were listening back to the tape that we'd recorded onto for one of the previous tracks with the same name. And it played backwards as we reversed the tape back to the beginning. So we really liked some of the sounds that we were hearing, and we sampled it, chopped it around, put some new drum sounds in, and we really liked how it turned out. It's probably a direction that the group's going to be heading in for our future sound.
You'll be walking backwards and playing backwards. Well, isn't it amazing that you've come up with something out of the blue, not intending for it to occur?
Yeah, I guess that's the beauty of playing live music and playing with great musicians.
This piece is called Share, and it's labelled as Outro. Tom and Michael of Genicost, thank you both for chatting with me here on Bent Notes tonight. For more information about both of you, your websites are great, tomavgenicost.com and mikeavgenmusic.com. The album is Treading Water on bandcamp.com. We look forward to seeing you both here in Melbourne sometime, hopefully next year.
Thanks so much, David. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. My special guests on Bent Notes have been Tom and Michael of Genicos. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.